On today's Keys for Kids Connect podcast, the vast majority of Venezuelans feel a deep sense of relief.
This is real. This is about kids and getting the hope that lies within us out into a broken world, a world that's hurting right now.
Asmat Khan surrendered his life to Christ, an unthinkable decision for a tribal chief in Afghanistan.
All this and more on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. I'm Greg Yoder. Today, we're going to take a quick peek at 2025. What did God accomplish at Keys for Kids Ministries? We'll talk with some special friends of Keys for Kids Ministries, too. They started off as subscribers and donors, but over the last year, that relationship has significantly changed. We'll tell you about that. It's pretty something special. But first, you've probably been seeing Venezuela in the news, right? Well, for more than 20 years, that nation has gone from one of the most economically powerful nations in the world to a nation that can't even take care of its own people. Corruption abounds, political opponents have been killed, and human rights abuses abound. As you know, the United States on Saturday night, January 3rd, and into the early hours of January 4th, armed special forces executed a raid on Caracas, capturing and arresting the now former dictator, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife on narco-terrorism, conspiracy, and cocaine importation. More charges are expected. In fact, most Venezuelan people are relieved, yet guarded about the situation. Now, I have a friend who lives there. He's remained in the country on purpose to provide hope to that nation that can only be found in Christ. Now, I'm not going to be sharing his name. In fact, he didn't even want his voice on the podcast today. So he did write it out for me to read to you. Hope it's not very uncomfortable for you, but here are the words of my friend in Venezuela. He says this: "We are a Venezuelan family, reduced from 6 to 3, because 3 of our children had to practically flee the country due to hunger, repression, and absolute harassment of the Venezuelan population by the dictatorship. We have lived through the communist tragedy in Venezuela from the very moment that Army Lieutenant Hugo Chavez failed in his coup attempt on February 4, 1992. We then watched with utter astonishment as President Calera dismissed the criminal case against him on March 1994, thus allowing him to run in the 1998 presidential elections, which he won, taking office on February 2, 1999. From that very day, in the same style as Hitler, who used democracy to destroy democracy, Chavez began dismantling every democratic barrier that attempted to constitutionally control his government. Now, around 2010, he achieved total control of all Venezuelan public powers, effectively burying the Constitution and the human rights of Venezuelans. Since that tragic year of 2010, people began to flee the country almost en masse because staying meant watching their future shrink year after year. Now, from here, we're observing what some American citizens are thinking of speculating about. What we Venezuelans think about Trump extracting the dictator Maduro? Well, today, my friend is saying, I want to answer that question with absolute sincerity in a simple way and without any fuss on my part. The vast majority of Venezuelans feel a deep sense of relief, one that only truly a good Venezuelan can understand. And it's not because we love President Trump, nor because we believe the United States is doing this out of pure love for freedom. And we are not naive about Venezuela's geopolitical impact on our hemisphere, on our oil, and the power all of this generates. We feel somewhat relieved because we have experienced something our American friends have never experienced. A country where almost everything has stopped working, where elections produce whatever results the dictatorship wants, where money irretrievably loses its value almost every week. Regarding those who think or say I see that not all Venezuelans agree with the extrication of Maduro. I would like to acknowledge that there is indeed a minority that disagrees. And that minority that the dictatorship's propaganda portrays is made up of several million Venezuelans who have been driven into such extreme poverty that their survival depends on the blind obedience and absolute loyalty to the dictator's will. These millions of Venezuelans are forced to rely on a food box and some subsidies provided by the government. It's a box containing rice, pasta, and oil, and sometimes the food arrives expired. This box, which arrives irregularly, is blatantly used as an instrument of social control. Currently, in WhatsApp groups in Venezuela, this message is endlessly repeated. If this government fails, this box will never return and you'll lose your subsidy. The misery to which these people have subjected the Venezuelan population is so overwhelming that people aren't defending the system because they believe in it. They're defending it because they fear losing the only thing that separates them from utter starvation. Throughout these years, some politicians opposed the system, but that opposition was never free, informed, or dignified. It was coerced, infiltrated, and corrupted by the dictatorship. The only political leader who, during these 27 years, maintained integrity and consistency was Maria Corina Machado. Now, let me explain what we have experienced since Maduro took power in 2013 after Chavez's death. Since Maduro took power, Venezuela has lost approximately 90% of its real economy. We've been experiencing relentless hyperinflation for several years now, where prices don't rise annually or even monthly, they rise almost daily. Salaries have lost their value to the bolivar, 130 bolivars, that's about 40 cents, and this is the same amount pensioners receive. Another narrative circulating around the world is that the Venezuelan people didn't fight hard enough for their freedom. The truth is that we have protested and marched thousands of times here. This is not an exaggeration. And during these protests over the years, thousands of people have been killed, tens of thousands more have been and continue to be illegally imprisoned as political prisoners. Here, we have never stopped voting. We do so because we truly believe in democracy. In 2015, the opposition won the parliamentary elections by an overwhelming majority. The dictatorship used the remaining branches of government to effectively nullify the parliament's actions. In July 2024, we voted again, and the opposition, represented by diplomat Amando Gonzalez, won those elections overwhelmingly, with a margin of almost 70 to 30. The dictatorship ignored the results and once again used the remaining branches of government to usurp the presidency. Throughout these years, we, the democratic people, have remained committed to the law and to peaceful protests, while the dictatorship's strategy has always been to use criminal groups to violently and brutally crush any attempt at peaceful dissent. The dictatorship's media strategy has always been to portray this reality in reverse. They try to tell the world that the images of violence they present are generated by democratic opposition, when in reality, they are the ones infiltrating peaceful protests with masked groups who disappear when the government arrives and repress the violent ones. During all these years, more than 8 million Venezuelans fled the country, meaning that roughly 30% of the population left. Families were torn apart. Children grew up without their parents or grandparents, and entire cities and towns aged sadly. Well, you've been listening to words of my friend in Venezuela, responding to the raid and arrest of ex-president Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela from an average citizen. He lives there today. And because there's still much corruption in Venezuela, we're keeping my friend's name out of the story and reading his words. And we'll be back to finish his comments here in just a minute. Well, it is a new year, and you want to be in the Word with your kids, right? Well, why not sign up to get a Keys for Kids or Unlock Devotional or both? Each in their own way are designed not only to introduce kids and teens to Jesus, but to help them grow in their faith as they use it. Get your subscription at devo.keysforkids.org or download the apps. Search for Keys for Kids or Unlocked to download your preferred app today. Well, we continue with my Venezuelan friend who's reporting on the raid and arrest of ex-president Nicolas Maduro over the weekend. This happened, of course, between January 3rd and 4th. He says, when some of my American friends or brothers say, our intervention in Venezuela is wrong, I ask them with much affection and appreciation to please understand that Venezuela has been occupied by Iran, China, Cuba, and Russia for several years now. They use our beloved country as a haven for terrorism, drug trafficking, and as a foothold in the Americas. This isn't opposition propaganda. This is reality that I, my friend, can attest to from deep within Venezuela. I tell you this with the purest of truth. No sane Venezuelan celebrates bombs, humiliation, or chaos, but what we react with joy to is the possibility that the door may finally open to return to democracy, to the reconstitution of our country, to being able to breathe freely again. We are more than clear that the United States has its natural interests. Oil, minerals, resources to which God has blessed Venezuela in extraordinarily abundant ways. We Venezuelans are not fools. It's just that almost all of us over the age of 35 remember a time when Venezuela was functional, prosperous, and connected to the world, when people emigrated to our country instead of fleeing it, when dreaming of a future of personal or family progress didn't seem impossible within Venezuela. My dear American friend or brother, if the Venezuelan celebration seems strange or odd to you, the most pertinent question isn't why do they support an intervention in their country? The question I ask yourself is, what kind of suffering leads a people to accept the risk of another nation intervening in their country? Finally, I understand those who question President Trump's motives or doubt the legality of the operation that took place in the Venezuelan capital in the early hours of last Saturday, and those are valid questions. In times like these, scrutiny and discernment are signs of responsibility. I'm not asking you to ask these questions. What I do ask from the bottom of my heart is that you please stand in solidarity with the millions of Venezuelans who have just glimpsed a ray of light after decades of darkness. Because as I've explained through this lengthy account, this profound joy of the Venezuelan people didn't stem from ideology or patriotism. It truly arose from exhaustion and the hope of finally seeing a door begin to open, a door that will allow us to move forward. A free Venezuela. Then I asked my friend about evangelism and church growth. Is it growing? He says it is. It has always been the case throughout the history of the church, has positively impacted evangelism since people find hope and peace in Jesus Christ, and churches grow because of the people who seek the peace and hope that only God can give. This has resulted in the spiritual strengthening of believers of all ages. The problem that is incredibly difficult to overcome is physical health. Since food here is becoming increasingly precarious every day, as I mentioned before, the relentless rise in food prices means that families are eating very poorly, in very small quantities with very low quality food, and sometimes they eat only once a day. Well, those are the words from my friend in Venezuela. Keys for Kids Ministries supports the Spanish-speaking church in Latin America through llavesdelcielo.org. It's our Spanish Keys for Kids website. It's updated daily. My friend says that he's using that with the children's ministry in Venezuela, and we're thrilled about that. His biggest need, as you can imagine, is food. And we would like to do more in Venezuela, but until now, the risk to my friend working there was too great, and sending storytellers and printed devotionals only put his life in danger. We're not sure if there will be an open door or not. Right now, it's not yet open. So we will continue praying that God will provide an open door. In the meantime, pray for my friend who is just struggling every day to find food to eat and to provide food to people that attend his church. If you'd like to support our Spanish-speaking ministry, go to keysforkids.org/international. That's keysforkids.org/international, and just make a note in the comment line when you give. Well, we turn next to subscribers, donors, and friends, now ambassadors to Keys for Kids Ministries, Jonathan and Jean Wiles. Well, welcome to the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. It's kind of a podcast, but actually we're doing this because it's been an amazing 2025. I'm Greg Yoder, and I have the Wiles with me. And Gene and Jonathan, you guys have been with us for a long time, but we have been friends for well over a year. And now that you've become ambassadors, there have been a lot of things that have happened since we chatted like over a year ago when we were going through all the changes in our database, and there was some confusion with a lot of things. But you guys have become donors, but also very good friends and now ambassadors. So I guess as we approach the end of the year, and as people will be reading this in the newsletter, I just want to ask you, what has Keys for Kids meant to you over the last year? And we'll start off maybe from a friend perspective. How has it, as that friendship has evolved, how has that changed?
Well, the pleasure's been all ours. I assure you, we've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you and follow your podcast and find out more about Keys for Kids. It has pulled us in more. It has put a burden heavier on our hearts and made it more real, I think, that friendship has put that urgency on us, realizing this is real. This is about kids and getting the hope that lies within us out into a broken world, a world that's hurting right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally just echo what he said, but also I would just add that just learning all the ins and outs of Keys for Kids has definitely made me love it even more. Just learning the heart of the ministry has just been an awesome experience.
When did that kind of change? As we started talking like last December, January, or just as it has evolved over this last year?
And I think just as it's kind of evolved over the last year, like I've been listening more to the podcast, and I think that's where you kind of can learn more about all the places that Keys for Kids is ministering all over the world, in public schools and churches and just families. It's amazing.
Thought it was awesome listening to some of their testimonies that you had on, some of the practical ideas that people had, keeping them in their purse, handing them out. There's just all kinds of great ideas of ways that you can get that word out and kind of reinvent Keys for Kids, not just for your family, but how you're going to help integrated into other people's lives. We've seen that happen with some dear friends of ours, even at church, just watching them, God met a need through Keys for Kids in their family. And I think what an awesome testimony. And it just, God continues to use it, things like that, to make it very real in our life.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about it from an ambassador perspective. And for those of that don't know, we've just started this ambassador program. Actually, it kind of culminated out of our relationship with you because you wanted to do more. We've got another lady that we featured in the newsletter last quarter that she's been doing thousands of copies every year. That's her missionary thing. She just wants to share Jesus with people, and so she donates to Keys for Kids so she can get Keys for Kids and Unlock to hand them out as many people as possible. And so you became part of that program. Just describe the ambassadors program, how you use it. What are you doing to promote Keys for Kids and Unlocked?
The first thing that came to our mind was our church and our school. Those are kind of the easiest outlets for us. Reaching out to our church and other churches that we've been a part of in the past and helping provide resources for them and their Christian schools, particularly our Christian school here in the Kansas City area, has about 85 to 90 kids that range from kindergarten through middle school. And providing those Keys for Kids to us with the bracelets and all the swag that goes with it has been a huge help and a booster in their morning chapel. Every week, the teachers have a little chapel for the students, but at the beginning of the Keys for Kids quarter, they will actually provide each one of them with a Keys for Kids devotional with instructions on how to use it, and why devotions and discipleship is so important.
The principal was telling me the other day that she was actually able to use a couple of Keys for Kids as her chapel lessons because they were so relevant and, you know, on topic as far like, so Keys for Kids and then the older grades, the Unlocked. So that has been such a huge blessing to them. They have thoroughly enjoyed that. And it's been such a cool way to teach the kids the importance of having that, devotion time.
Additionally, this year we have a another church that we partner with that does a food pantry. And there was a very difficult time that we all know this last year where food pantries were kind of overrun. And it was right about at the start of the school year. And it was a wonderful opportunity to purchase some backpacks and to slip a Keys for Kids in them and then hand those out at the food pantry to all the kids that came. So we've just continued to canvas the area and find those creative opportunities to meet a physical need with a spiritual need. And man, partnering with Keys for Kids just makes it all worthwhile.
Jonathan and Gene Wiles on the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. We'll have more from them in just a minute. We've had so many donors expressed an interest in telling the world about Keys for Kids Ministries. You support Keys for Kids, but you feel like you can do more to influence the next generation for Christ by making sure kids, teens, and families are spending time in the Word of God with Keys for Kids or Unlocked Devotionals. Well, if that's you, join our ambassador program. At keysforkids.org/ambassador, you can sign up not only to donate to Keys for Kids Ministries, but you'll also receive a stack of devotionals, brochures, and other tools that will be able to help promote the ministry of Keys for Kids Ministries. Just go to keysforkids.org/ambassador.
I do know that you guys came across an amazing story. I think it was a woman. Was it in your church?
Yeah.
And we featured that even in our newsletter, which I think was a great, cool story. Could you just share that with our friends?
Yeah. So I have a friend. Her name is Myra. She is a single mom who I met at our mom's ministry group at church when we first started going there just a little over a year ago. She has had a lot of turmoil in her life, but she raises two boys by herself and one morning, I just met her in the lobby at church, and I said, hey, I just have these Keys for Kids for you, and kind of explained to her just very briefly what Keys for Kids was. And she went forward that same morning and was praying with the pastor, and she messaged me later and said, I didn't even know that, like, what I was praying for. You had already met that need that morning. And I said, no, I didn't do that. God did that. But I was just so thankful that God used Keys for Kids as a tool. But then later on, she's now kind of in her own way become an ambassador for Keys for Kids too.
Because that's awesome.
Her boys wear their little bracelets to school and talk about Keys for Kids and tell their friends. And it's just such a cool way to see how the Lord is just using it. And she, I think she said in her quote that, you know, if you see a change in me or my family, it's Jesus. That's exactly what it is.
Well, obviously you guys aren't just friends and you're not just ambassadors, but you also are donors, and we want to thank you. We can't thank you guys enough for what you've done for us financially. And there's others obviously like you. I wish I could interview all of our donors, but why in the world do you give to Keys for Kids Ministries? And I know you guys have done more this year than in years past. And I guess, why is it so important?
You know, there are so many ministries out there, right? The ministry list goes on and on and on. There's needs everywhere you look. And always I say, we give to our local church. You always make sure you're meeting the needs of your local church.
Absolutely.
But Keys for Kids is an opportunity to help further, not just locally, but thinking globally. This organization, Keys for Kids and Unlocked, allows us to go where we can't go. Allows us to go where a lot of missionaries can't go. Mm-hmm. We see all the hurt happening in Russia and the Ukraine. We see all the hurt happening in the Middle East. We see the hurt happening in China. And yet, the Keys for Kids literature that comes out shows all the way that storytellers and booklets in their own language are making it inroads to those countries. Not only is it benefiting our friends and neighbors that we go to church with, not only is it working through the hearts and lives of the kids at our local Christian school, but now we're seeing how we can even expand that reach. And those kids need, I mean, we're so blessed to live in the nation we live in. And to know that sometimes we take that blessing for granted because there's kids out there hurting even more. And I love to know that they can get a Keys for Kids storyteller, they can get a Keys for Kids book, and they can read it and find that same hope that we have in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the stories that you guys had shared before was about a kiddo who was in Ukraine, and he was listening to the storytellers, and that was an amazing story. But one of the things that one of the reasons that I think it's so important to give to Keys for Kids is not only those you know, world-reaching things, but it strengthens the family, strengthens the Christian family. And so it goes from just very individualized to worldwide mission. And it's such a cool organization. Can't think of anywhere else we would love to give to.
And there's just not that many ministries out there that have such a broad reach, mm-hmm. and such a relevant reach in the family's life, right? There's a lot of great ministries out there, but this is why we choose Keys for Kids.
If there's any flaw that we've had at Keys for Kids or Children's Bible Hour at the time has been, it's that we've only focused on children rather than now we're focusing on kids, teens, and families. I mean, the whole family, because it isn't just enough to hand a Keys for Kids to a child or a devotional to a teenager or give moms and dads this information and let them sit on it. It has to be the whole family. Would you agree?
Yes.
100%. There has never been more time that I can think of in my life where the family has been under attack even more. And it's only going to get worse and worse. People need to be utilizing Keys for Kids, need to be giving to Keys for Kids. This is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and ministry that they can get behind to help further the gospel message and to solidify families around the world. That's our only hope.
That's Jonathan and Gene Wiles, donors, friends, and ambassadors of Keys for Kids Ministries. Again, you can join our ambassador program at keysforkids.org/ambassador. And finally, 2025 was an amazing year for ministry here at Keys for Kids Ministries. God allowed us to accomplish so much, but none of it would have happened had you not listened to the Lord and supported us financially or through prayer. Last year, we were able to distribute hundreds of thousands of devotionals all over the world. Our websites were visited over 1 million times. 150,000 people listen to Keys for Kids Radio. We provide devotionals to camps, schools, churches, events like fairs and festivals. We went over the 30,000 Devo mark with our public school outreach partnership with the Three Heath Brothers. And we had a hand in planting 15 churches in Afghanistan. One story was about an 11-year-old Muslim boy who enthusiastically gave his heart to Christ. He and his other siblings were orphaned when the suicide bomb exploded, killing his parents. But Sami Ula didn't stop with sharing Christ with his siblings. He reached out to adults, dangerous for any Muslim. Well, our partners, FMI, put together a video update about the partnership recently, and here's the soundtrack to that video.
11-year-old Sami Ula's encounter with the gospel was only the beginning of a far greater story in Afghanistan, one that God would use to break new ground in one of the hardest places on earth. After hearing the words of Jesus through a simple solar-powered Keys for Kids storyteller, Sami not only gave his life to Christ, he also introduced FMI's partner, Makhbul, to the most influential man in his region, his tribal chief, Asmat Khan. He's a man known for strength, authority, and deep cultural loyalty. When Asmat Khan listened to the storyteller, something remarkable happened. The stories of Jesus pierced his heart. He began inviting Makhbul into his home, asking questions, learning, and quietly gathering others to listen with him. In time, Asmat Khan surrendered his life to Christ, an unthinkable decision for a tribal chief in Afghanistan. And from that decision, history was made. Today, in that remote Afghan village, the first Keys for Kids underground church has been established, a small fellowship of 17 believers meeting secretly under Asmat Khan's leadership with Makhbul guiding and discipling them. But their faith has come at a cost. When the surrounding communities discovered their newfound belief in Jesus, they boycotted the entire village. Trade stopped. Relationships broke. Threats followed. This small group now lives under constant danger, watched, pressured, and isolated. Yet, their courage hasn't wavered. Asmat Khan stands firm, declaring, "We will not turn back. We will follow Jesus no matter what." The believers meet quietly, praying, worshiping, and listening again and again to that same storyteller that first touched 11-year-old Sami's heart. And their request is simple. Pray that the Lord gives us wisdom and courage to proclaim the gospel in these difficult conditions. One boy, one storyteller, one tribal chief transformed, and now one underground church shining the light of Christ in Afghanistan.
Well, if you'd like to actually see the video, all you need to do is go to keysforkids.org/international and then look for the story titled Storytellers Bring Light in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Well, I'd like to thank my friend in Venezuela, also Jonathan and Gene Wiles, and FMI for being a part of the January edition of the Keys for Kids Connect podcast. Now, if you'd like to support Keys for Kids Ministries in any way, just go to keysforkids.org. That's keysforkids.org. The Keys for Kids Connect podcast is a production of Keys for Kids Ministries of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's designed to help donors and friends like you stay updated on what's happening here at Keys for Kids Ministries. And until next time, thanks for listening. I'm Greg Yoder.